Hello, good morning. Yeah. I'd like to introduce Jeremy Zimmermann. He's going to talk about ways to defend our digital freedom in a time where every day we get more and more laws passed that that are very negative for our digital freedom. So give him a warm welcome. Thank you.
Hello, guten Tag, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you for waking up so early, hacker time speaking. I had a very good joke for introducing this speech, but I forgot it. So we'll start without a joke anyway. So I'm Jeremy Zimmermann. I'm the vice president of April, the main organization, non-profit in France about promoting and defending libre software, free as freedom software. Is it me or is there some echo in the mic? Hello? The echo is okay? Oh, okay. So our association has more than 1,700 members today. Corporate members such as Sun Microsystems, Thales, and big corporate players who believe in what we do. The association was founded in 1996 by basically a few hackers, computer nerds, we shall say. And the main mission of promoting libre software was, after some time, not enough, because it wasn't as beautiful and pink and funny as it should have been, and libre software was very soon under different forms of attack. So a mission of defending our freedom became a very important part of our activity. We are truly aligned with the philosophy of the FSF, the GNU, the four basic freedom of free software: freedom to use the software, to copy the software, to study the software, to modify and distribute a modification of the software. We truly believe that those freedom in a digital world are the core of any other freedom. As Professor Larry Lessig says, code is law. You all know that very well-known sentence. So yeah, in the digital world, what you can do, what you cannot do, what people might know about you, how people shall spy on you, control you, everything is made by software. So the democratic control and transparent control of what software do is for us an essential pillar of all of freedom. So this is how we do it. Thinking, first of all, about the freedom of free software. And we were involved in the last years in a few campaigns. Some of them you will see go a bit further than just the strict promotion and defense of free software. But in all of the case, free software was directly menaced, and we had to team up. We had to do things together in ways we hadn't envisioned before. We discovered many, many things about politicians, about the parliament, about the journalists, about how to campaign in a general form. And I'm here to tell you about all this, hoping that maybe some of our ideas and things we did would be, I don't know, inspiring or helpful, and hoping that we might maybe talk about all this later on when it will be time for questions or after the talk. So, the campaigns by themselves. There's a big problem we're aware of, is that we French people do speak French. So it's a beautiful language for literature, for arts, for love, for many things, for cheese. The Sono might be allergic to cheese or something. So, we do great things, but we do them in French. So, Basically, it means that 99% of the world just doesn't know about it. So we're in the process right now of trying to correct this. As any NGO, nonprofit funded by its member, we got resource problems. But very soon we will have a decent website, I hope. And that will allow us to more easily and regularly update English translations of the very important things we're doing. But the fact is that probably none of you, or not much of you, have heard about EUCD.info. How many of you have heard about EUCD.info? How many non-French people? Okay, that's what I thought. So here is basically what the website looks like today. It was initiated as a reaction to the EUCD directive. How many of you don't know about the EUCD directive? Okay, so I'll make a quick review of it. The EUCD directive is the equivalent of the American, the US DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Like the DMCA, the EUCD is a transposition of an international treaty, a YPO, World International Property Organization treaty. And like the American DMCA, the EUCD is a very, very intelligent law that gives a legal protection to those so-called technical protection measures, or DRM, locking mechanisms that companies put on artwork, whether it's music or video, and digital padlocks that forbids you to access any content in any other way than the ones intended by the producer, basically. So when you buy a copy-protected CD and try to listen to it in your car stereo player, it just doesn't work. And if you just copy this protected CD on a non-protected regular standard CD, then you make what they call a circumvention of the digital protection, the digital control mechanism. And as everybody is able to do it, of course, you should make this illegal, so people will stop doing it. So I won't extend about the logical reasoning behind this thing. This is a very stupid law indeed. But the fact is that when you do free software, lib software, all you do is opening what you do, all you do is transparency, and everybody can alter the behavior of the software and of the computer. By nature, those tools, those DRM, never allow you to alter the behavior of the computer, are closed, are secret, so you cannot know what they do. So when you got an artwork that you have legally paid, legally bought, that is contained in such a so-called protection, a control mechanism, and if you choose, like we do, only to use libre software on your computer, then you cannot access it. The only way to access it, would be to break that control mechanism to legally read the artwork you have just bought. So this is the root of the problem. The EUCD directive was voted in 2001. At this time, we hadn't the resources. It just went like this. You know how it is in the European Parliament. And so we couldn't talk at this time to the people who voted it into the European Parliament and went in some way there after the battle. So starting in 2003, people began with the EUCD.info working almost full-time, Christophe Espern and Loïc Dachary, to name them. They began filling the website with documentation, core documentation, building dossier. You see the 55 pages long version of the dossier, many pointers to legal text, letters, notes, very synthetic notes, arguments, and etc., etc. Build a very complete documentation database was the main activity of EUCD Info for something like 2 years. So we are now in 2005. We have many contacts with legal people, with lawyers, already with some politicians, with journalists. People began to know what it is about, but not that much. And then, extracted from all that data very synthetic illustrations of everything we were saying. Actually, after a few years of building the data, we could have very small list, bullet point list of what were really the problems of this text, and were able, after the years, to explain it quite shortly, in a very synthetic way. You might see here a few points, such as generalized presumption of guilt for the public, censorship of free software authors, and aggravated responsibility for third-party acts. For those who know the EUCD, this is maybe quite new to you, and this is a very specificity of the French transposition of EUCD. Some extra bonus parts were added. Some we called the Vivendi Universal amendments, because they were written by the lobbyists of Vivendi Universal during the process of writing the law on the very governmental part of the writing of the law. And those very stupid amendments stated that releasing a software that is mainly used for putting artwork without the consent of the author on the internet was illegal. So basically building Apache or any other server software. So there were some really specific and really nasty bits of law that were being added to the law before it went to the parliament. All this we tried to watch and to be aware of, and to build those very synthetic arguments against them. And then it's Christmas. Almost Christmas. We're in the mid-November, almost end of November 2005, and we're told that the law shall be examined in two nights, the 21st and 22nd of December. You can imagine how full must be a parliament on the 21st and 22nd of December. Mm-hmm. So we got a very nasty bit of law that censors authors, that is a really strong distortion of competition in the field of distribution of content, that have extra bonuses where they want to filter the internet and so on, because all this was wrapped into a gift paper of, oh, this is for protecting the poor little authors who die, because of internet. So this was about the authors, and all this was perfectly normal, and this will be really quick, two nights, and this is gone. And this is where we really activated the campaign. So we got about 1 month, and we won't let this happen. Basically, Vivendi Universal, Microsoft, Apple Corp, and all the corporations that were really interested into having this law passed didn't need us to make them a Christmas present. So what we did at this stage was to launch a petition saying a very, very, very simple message that is basically no. We in France have a very strong tradition of saying no. And thank you. Thank you. It might be funny, but not all the time. Well, so we had a very simple message saying no. This is important matter. We don't want this law to be passed in those conditions, which was actually an expressway, fast track procedure. So instead of making round trips between the Assemblée Nationale, which is the first chamber, and the Senate, that is the second one, instead of making different round trips, it just went once in the first chamber, once in the second chamber, and bye-bye. So we just said, we don't want this. This is complicated matter. It should be discussed in a very democratic and regular, standard way. So this photo was taken on the 13th of December, The petition was launched on the 2nd of December, so a bit more than 10 days after, and we had 75,000 signatures already. At this time, it was already the biggest online petition made in France. We had signatures from individuals, but also from collective associations, NGOs. We had schools, political parties. We had a union of jazz musicians. We had a very broad range of people who understood the arguments we made about this law. Of course, we spent the 10 days, 24 hours a day, going to every possible forum, sending mail to every possible mailing list, you know, making some buzz around it. And here we were taking that petition in front of the Hôtel de Matignon, which is the residence of the Prime Minister. It's not for the Prime Minister himself we did this, but to be able to tell to the journalists, oh, come, there will be some very nice photos to make. And they did so, and we were interviewed, and there were a few images, and it began to feel bad in the opposite camp. We began to feel some tension, so we were happy, and we were doing more and more and more buzz and noise and all. The thing is, at this point, we had more contacts with journalists. We were, of course, beginning to have contacts with politicians, too. And in every possible party in France, we had contacts. No, except for one very brown and dirty. But every regular political party, we had contacts with them from the left of the left of the left to the very right of the right, the green, the center, everyone. We had identified the people who were aware of those issues. And most important than this, we did a kind of phone storm over the parliament. Oh, it's very pixelated, I'm sorry. Actually, along with all our press releases, we encouraged people to call their local deputy. There's no such thing as a people calling his member of the parliament, saying, hello, I live in the place where you might be re-elected someday, and I want to talk to you about some very important matter for me. So there is this law, you don't know nothing about it, and I want to tell you, okay, this is bad for this, and 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 that, and I will send you documents, and of course there are amendments, because, yeah, most important, I didn't tell you earlier, the kind of achievement of our work of documentation was to build, with lawyers of course, amendments of what should be the law if it wasn't that bad. Patches, to speak in hacker terms. So we had the patches ready, and we told everyone, oh, do call your member of parliament and tell him that there is a problem, tell him that you can send him documents, and tell him that there are amendments that are already in the corridors of the parliament, that are already being signed by other members, and tell them to go. We had arguments for every possible political sensitivity, like for the communists, we said, you know, those DRM really forbid access of culture for everyone. And for the right wing, we said, you know, the competitiveness of French corporation. And so we had food for everyone. So we had accounts from members of parliament who said to us, it was so horrible. Like all the time, they were calling all the time. And I pick up the phone, yeah, yeah, I know, that's ELO. I know, stop calling, yeah. Thing, oh, yeah, I know. And really, really, a friend of mine was talking with a member of parliament at that time, and the phone was ringing every 5 minutes. They were really impressed. So at this point, a very small, unimportant thing that goes along for Christmas was beginning to get a bit bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So we got attention from the media. We got attention from politicians, member of parliament of different political sides. And then the exam process of the law by itself begins. We had fun. So people from every possible party were reading entire paragraphs we had written. The amendments we had written were signed and put on the list by every major, how do you say? You know, in every party, they have the people who know the stuff. So the others don't need to work. They know that, he's good with this, so let's delegate the trust in these people. Yeah, so in every party, we had the people who knew, who had our amendments in their pockets. And as you can see, there weren't so many people in the parliament, which is sad for democracy indeed, but which makes easier to influence them. So, come on. I mean, we're citizens. We're citizens. We have the right to influence our members of parliament. So, out of the 577 members of parliament, the average, to cut into the suspense, the whole exam process lasted for about 6 months. Not six full months, but maybe 10 to 15 days compared to the two intended nights over 6 months in planning for the parliament that isn't that flexible. That's very much more than what intended. So as an average, out of the 577 members, there were maybe between 15 to 20. This is sad. So we did our stuff. The Minister of Culture, who was in charge of that very cultural law, you know, it's just an industrial and technical problem, but okay, the Minister of Culture, everything is normal. So as you see, he was a bit worried, and actually bad things happened to him. I might do this for one more minute or something because I like it very much. And so he had good reasons to be sad because, yeah, he was basically there to lie and say, there is no problem at all. Don't worry, free software, everything is okay. Interoperability, yeah, it's taken care of. And everybody was, sorry, Mr. Minister, but there is a problem with this and this and this. And yeah, so he was in a very uncomfortable position. And okay, I won't spend the full hour talking about this because I got many other things to tell you. But basically, our amendments were voted unanimously, which never happens in France. All the deputies present at that time at 3 a.m. in the morning, okay, there were maybe 8 or 10. Okay, but they unanimously, and they were representing the whole country, voted our amendments. So, yeah, thank you. it was a big deal. It was a really big deal indeed. Basically, our amendment said when someone tried to control an artwork in any possible form, and if you want to attain interoperability, meaning if you're using free software and want to listen to that iTunes or whatever song you bought, then you have the right to do it. You have the right to circumvent, which is normal. It's normal, but actually it puts all the law down on the floor. Hey, sorry guys. So the day after, and I'm not joking, the day after, in the New York Times, then International Herald Tribune, then Washington Post, articles began to sprout talking about the iPod law. And representatives of Apple Corporation of America said, oh, this is so bad for our business. Oh, we shall get out of France. Yeah, you see people from the Ministry of Culture? Those poor little artists who are dying because of the internet? No. This is big US corps wanting to control artworks who were endangered by what we did. So that was a very important part of our demonstration. Actually, it turned quite bad afterwards, but we had managed to demonstrate that this law was made for big US corps. And this was good. So here is the New York Times forcing iPods to play other than iTunes. The title is completely wrong because it was the opposite. It might have been not forcing, but allowing songs bought on iTunes to be played on something else than iPod. And this is fair. But okay, so we did it to the New York Times, to the Washington Post. This one I'm very proud of, because Wired News said how France is saving civilization. Oh, and it's not ironical. It's not ironical. And the thing was in the Cult of Mac, section of the website. So this guy was a Mac fanboy, you know how they can be. And he was saying, hey, yeah, it's true. Apple should allow us to do this with the songs we buy them. So it wasn't even ironical. The noise was there, and then on the second chamber, by some miracle artifice, the amendments were gone. Oops. Yeah, but it's very problematic, and we had meetings about it, we sorted out, and don't worry, no, we just removed the amendments. No, it's okay. Yeah, go away. Okay, it's good. And so what we learned afterwards is that the Department of Commerce, the head of Department of Commerce US, Carlos Gutierrez, activated the embassy, how do you call it, diplomatic line with the European Commission. So the European Commission would make some pressure on the French Senate. The French Senate got a delegation of 14 people from Apple Corporation America, went there and explained that, oh, we understand our business and problems and, you know, when the music and internet and blah, 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 and we know about it. And they just removed the amendments, proving again what we just said, that it's basically a problem of industry, and it's basically a problem of who will control the pipes, who will control the release and the communication of content in digital era. Okay, so it's bad, but we had many positive things. Anyway, this is a lobbying meeting where you get people from the music industry facing right-wing deputies. And this image was taken in a documentary that was passed on the main public TV channel during the exam, during the process of the exam of the law, talking about the law. So one of the very positive things we had was a kind of big mediatic impact for such a complex and technical issue. So lobbying practices were put in the daylight, like responsible from authors and composers associations were going to see the member of parliament saying to them, oh, if you vote for this and this and this amendment, then we will cut the subventions for the festivals in your area, and things like this. And this was said. This was said with half words, but this was said on TV. So this was said, the word logiciel libre, free as freedom software, were pronounced more than 200 times in both chambers of the parliament, where they hadn't been said once before. So for us, it was very, very important things too. And most of all, we gained very strong contacts with some politics who saw that we knew how to build documentation, we knew how to make people angry sometime, that we knew how to raid a phone central in the parliament, and so on, and so on. So, basically, I think the most precious things we had is that there were so many back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with the amendments that the text nowadays is completely filled with bad things. Yeah, it's ununderstandable. Any lawyer, law people looking at it say, oh my, oh. And so, yeah, basically it will never be used for anything bad, we hope. And we will have quite powerful tools to challenge it, like some legal minds here and there. So what was really interesting is that during the whole buzz we made around this, some other initiatives sprouted, in which we took an important part called stopdrm.info, basically by people that were talking on the forum we had set up for talking about the law. And it was really, really, it's not that much active nowadays, but it was really active and really strong for many months during 2006 mostly. So this is their website, which main objective was to inform the general public about the DRM. So the main tool for this was flash mobs. We did flash mobs into superstores selling CDs and DVDs, where at the blow of a whistle, everyone took his sign saying, oh, no, we don't want this, no, 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 which allowed us to take very nice pictures that were scaring so much people from the musical industry. It was really delightful. And to give leaflets, flyers to people there to stand in front of the things. So this one says, control the reading of artworks is harmful to culture and reduce the fertility of the brain. You know, like the things on the cigarettes. And yeah, so we had lots of fun. And one big issue of this was to build images, strong images, such as this one, that could be used afterwards for articles, for fun, and so on. So this is in front of the Fnac, which is the biggest chain of cultural goods, as we may call them, Place de la Bastille. And so we had lots of fun. Most interesting was that we had such an encouraging welcome by the people themselves. When we gave the flyer to them, well, what is it? You know, when you buy that CD and that you can't listen to it in your car, play, oh, yes, I know, that's so shit. Yeah, that's thanks to them. And they're passing this law right now that says that you can't, even if you bought the CD, listen to it in your car, because they don't want you to. Oh, really? Oh, you're right, go for it, yeah, yeah. And the most funny was that the people from the Fnac themselves, the sellers, came to us at some point after one of those flash mobs saying, you're right, go ahead. Yeah, the clients keep coming and telling to us, oh, it doesn't work, I don't understand, I got the iPod and the iThing and the iShit and the song don't go from... And the sellers themselves were saying to them, you're right. And they were saying, come again tomorrow, there will be some more people. And it was really funny, and it, yeah, so Richard Stallman himself made us the great honor to come at one of our flash mob, where for the occasion we had like 150 people, the full Fnac Montparnasse, and its three floors were completely stormed by us. The three or four guys from the security were there like, please, could you slowly, nicely move along? No, we're taking photos, and please don't make photos. Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. Yep. It was really, really funny. And it helped us, in some way, to understand that we were right. It helped us to understand how right we were about the nocivity of those DRM. And it gave, on the outside world, in the politician and mediatic and whatever other point of view you may imagine, it made an image that it wasn't only a subject for technical geeks, but a subject for consumer, you know, the saint consumer, that was directly concerned about those things. So it showed basically that everyone cares about this, and that it's a subject that concerns everyone. So those flash mobs were organized simultaneously in many different cities of France. We said, like, this weekend there will be flash mobs across France. And people from secondary cities took the organization of some events, and we set up mailing lists for them, so everyone in their place could do the same. We gave the flyers and the signs. They could, of course, do theirs, but it was easier for them to have everything done before. And so, yeah, we had quite some impact and quite some articles in the press, too. Oh, this is not that big, not as big as the one that has been in Berlin about data retention, but a protest reorganized against DRM and that stupid law. And we organized it, April and StopDRM and FSF France and many other friend associations. So here again, we had great fun and we had the occasion to build images such as this one. So Vivendi Universal is holding with chain this poor kid with, I read a DVD with Linux. And yeah, so actually we had also the occasion to name some lobbyists of the music industry and what they don't like, you know, like vampires, what they hate the most is light. So seeing their name on sign of an angry mob, I think might have been one of the most oops moments of their existence. And this was fun. So this is the... So she lended music to a friend, you know, so she had to break that shitty Microsoft DRM. So, hey, basically, she was sent to jail. Okay, so calling to boycott the major's products was also some quite interesting thing to do at this very moment. And some other action we did with StopDRM that was, yeah, really fun too, was to give ourselves in to the police, saying, okay, hello, I bought this DVD today. Okay, the movie is Brazil, you might understand why. I used free software, I have the right to download and use and copy and all, to dump it on stupid mobile phone. What strange idea, said the cop to me. I said, yeah, I will never watch it on the phone, but it's just to explain to you that I can do it and I might want it to do it, and I just did it, basically. So by doing it, I circumvented a technical protection measure. And if you read at this piece of law, Mr. Policeman, you will see that it is forbidden to circumvent any such crappy protection measure for any purpose, and to even possess the software that can do it, and et cetera, et cetera. So we were in two waves, six of us. The six of us had all the illegal acts you can commit around those DRM. One had written a software, translated a software, distributed the software, written a text saying how to use the software. Because in our version of the law, writing, publishing information about how to circumvent this shit is illegal too. Yeah. Sorry, what? Oh, in Germany too. Mm, okay, so we're brothers of stupid laws too. And so we turn ourselves in, saying, oh, okay, arrest us. This is fun. And we had a very nice paper from the police saying, okay, so you've been heard for things. They didn't understand most of what we said, but I... No. It's true, it's not their job. And the first reaction was, oh, don't you have something else to do? Because we have something else to do. And he was, you know, really like typing with his two fingers very slowly, like, ah. And when I told him, you know those CD you can play in your car? He said, oh, yeah, this is so nasty. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Oh, okay, I understand. So his typing speed increased by one character a minute, which is a lot. But he was still a bit, you know, reluctant to do so. And at some point, his superior entered the room, and he was he began sweating immediately. And the guy entered, looked at me, smiled at me, looked at the movie Brazil on the table, said, great movie. I said, yeah, great movie indeed. And he just went away. And then the policeman was so nice to me, and he typed two times faster, and then he typed every word I asked him to type in that report. So I used free software, which I'm allowed by the four freedom of the free software to copy, and blah, blah, blah. Everything was written. And so right now, we are waiting. We're waiting. You know, the justice takes some time, sometimes. And so either we'll be convicted of something, we'll be trialed, and it will be very fun, or not. And it will be very fun too, because it will demonstrate that this law is completely useless. So it's what we call in the business, you know, a win-win situation. So what my pride on this action is that on the blog of Larry Lessig, you know all about Defective by Design, the FSF organization against DRM, Larry Lessig said, following the lead of the French anti-DRM activists, talking about us. And yeah, that's kind of rewarding, and I was quite proud of this one, so I had to show off, you know. And, okay, so now the battle for the DRM is almost over. The law was passed, nobody cares anymore. And there are still very important issues for us. And we gain some political momentum, we can gain many contacts among the political people. And it's 2007, and there are very important elections, major elections in France. There is the presidential election, and there is a legislative election for the members of parliament. And we said, okay, we had to enter those campaigns. We had to make free software and what we might call digital freedom or freedom in a digital world to enter, to step in, to put the foot in the door in these campaigns. So this is basically what we did with the Candidat.fr initiative, Candidat meaning candidate, you would have guessed, which was a twofold campaign, as there was those two political campaigns. So this is the website by itself. And for the presidential elections, we built a very complex, precise, and cornering questionnaire. So 22 or 24, I don't know, 20, no, 32, so, sorry, 32 questions about software patents, so-called technical protection measures, control measures, about YPO treaties, about interoperability, about the use of free software and open standards in the administration, and all the aspects that concerned us. We built the questions in a way that you can't just answer yes and no, you know. You had to take a strong position. Along with the questions was, of course, argumentations. We built cahiers, dossiers, small documents of 6 to 10 pages about all those topics. You know, lire l'argumentaire here is read the argumentation, because our aim was not just to get answers, but to make them work, and to make them work on those issues, and to make them have the right documents on those issues to be a bit more aware of them. And we had there quite some success too, because out of the 12 declared candidates, 8 of them replied, 8 of them among which the 5 who had the highest number of votes. I think we can call this a success. So you probably don't know those very exotic people. Most of them have replied. The ones you know more are the Ségolène Royal and Nicolas Sarkozy there. The question all of you might be wondering right now is, so what were the replies of Nicolas Sarkozy? Actually, they were the worst ones, which is quite, this is what we expected. Actually, he played a major role in making the EUCD transposition to pass. He personally had phone calls from Jean-René Fourtou, the president of Vivendi Universal, asking him to make those amendments be voted as a chief of a political party, you know, like to control the votes of the deputies and things like that. So many candidates replied to us with 10 to 20 pages. We had 17 pages and 20 pages replies, where every question was addressed with an answer. His answers were 4 pages and were basically full of corporate mantra. Like, patents is good. And you got to protect the artists. And, okay, so, anyway, we did it to put those issues and those topics into the campaigns because, the press talked a bit about this. And then came the legislative election. So for the legislative election, the problem was a bit different, is that there were 6,000 candidates. I told you there are 577 members of the parliament, so that's about an average of 10 candidates per seat. And so, okay, we have 3 full-time paid employees now in April, but we would have needed maybe 20 of them to contact all of the candidates. So As I told you, there's nothing more efficient than someone from the place where the people is elected calling and say, hey, I'm one of your electors, and I want to know, blah, blah. So what we had as an idea was to build a very simple document called Le Pacte du Logiciel Libre, a freedom software pact, which I have very roughly translated here. But I will perfect this translation, and I encourage you, if you're interested, to send me an email so I can give you the latest translated version. Maybe we will put it online on Candidat.fr, which would be quite logical at some point. So this is a very simple text saying, I'm aware that the free software actors work is essential for freedom, sharing of knowledge, bringing the digital gap, digital divide. It's an opportunity for the public, the technological independence, and the competitiveness of France and Europe. We spend like 200 hours, and it's not a metaphor, 200 hours redacting this very, very simple document. Every word was weighted more than 10 times. We put words for every possible political sensitivity. It begins with le travail, the work, which was one of the main themes of Nicolas Sarkozy's campaign. It ends the first sentence with competitiveness of French, which are very right-wing oriented words. And then you have the sharing of knowledge, the bridging of digital gap. Yeah, we put things for everyone, trying to make as exhaustive as you can be portrait of what is free software. So I'm aware of this. I'm aware that free software is a common to protect and develop, and that it depends on the rights for another, blah, blah, blah. The nature of free software. So we can be sure that people know what a free software is. And there, I commit myself to encourage administration, public places, and local governments to develop and use in priority free software and open standards, and, which is also quite interesting to us, defend the free software authors and users' rights, for instance, by asking the modification of any legal text endangering those rights, and by opposing to any new law project that would go into this direction. Yeah. Okay, so I read the thing. I didn't want to do it. But. So this is very simple text, a kind of foot in the door, and we made the candidates to sign this text. During the campaign, a candidate is almost willing to sign anything, anything that might, of course, help him to get elected. And this is very useful to us. So what we did is to build a collaborative tool where you could register as a volunteer to put into our database the name of the candidates in your region, in your area, to say, okay, I contacted this one said he will not sign, this one said he will sign, etc., etc. So we had something like, the figure shall be written right here, more than 600 volunteers that helped us with this, which is a lot. And we had 520 signatures from candidates, out of what, on the elected people, in the second round of the election, where only two candidates remain in the course, we had 160 who signed. And in the elected ones, it's, I think, 66. And some of them have signed afterwards. So that's 66 people who are in the parliament right now who signed that text saying, I know what free software is, I will protect it, and I will encourage it. Those are people who can call someday and say, oh, you remember that paper? No? I will remind you. But now that you're reminded, we got some work for you. So 66 might not look like a lot out of 577. On a real democratic experimental test case, it would be like 10% or something. But remember what I told you about EUCD.info. We had 8 people, and 8 people did for us everything we had to do in the parliament. So 66 compared to 8 might be a lot. I will pass on the details of the political situation of France now, which makes that the parliament is becoming kind of useless, and that's kind of depressing and another story. But okay, we did this and now have clearly identified people in the parliament that we might use for our purposes. And yeah, I think it was quite successful too. Yeah, one funny thing we did is to make web buttons the candidates could put on their website saying, yeah, I signed the pact. The marketing side. So, which is funny is that we began by making the white one, and then we were thinking, oh, maybe we can make a blue one for the right-wing people because their color is blue, so it will fit nicely on their website. Yeah, sure. And let's make a pink one for the socialist one whose color is pink. Yeah, sure. And an orange one for the center. Yeah, and a green one. Yeah, and a red one for the communists. Yeah, it's so funny. And for the fascists, let's do a blue, white, and red. No. Yeah, good idea. And we did this, and we had much fun, and it was, oh, it's ugly, it's not a flag. And it was one of the ones that was most taken and put on websites, like people from the center and all, and yeah, choose this one, okay. So this is it for the campaigns themselves. And we were on UCD Info, we were up to 3% full-time, but I didn't tell you yet. Between 1 to 3% full-time for 3 years. Candidat FR took us like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months to I would say 3 persons. Stop DRM was quite intense for many of us too. So we spent quite some time and learned quite some interesting things. About the general public first, public won't read your 50 pages of documentation with references to European texts and everything. You have to make the 50 pages fit into one page. And this is very hard. This is exactly what you learn in the very high schools that form the people who will become ministers and so on, ENA and all. And yeah, that synthetic work is as crucial as it is difficult, and it requires training, but you have to do it. It's very, very important to do it. Along with that synthesis work, you have to make very striking examples. The CD you can play in your car player works all the time. We had another way to explain the DRM problem by saying it would be a publishing house, a book publishing house, that would require that you read their books with only one brand of glasses. Like, you read it with other glasses and it's crumbled, and you have to get glasses from this brand to read. And people, educated people, old people, deputies and all, oh yes, this would be intolerable. Yes, that's what they're doing right now. Oh, really? So, the striking examples are something that is really, really, really important. And the simple atomic actions, like what we did with EUCD.info was, okay, the arguments are here, the list of Member of Parliaments is there. What you can do is take an email such as this one and send it to your representative. Or you can take your phone, you can dial those 4 first numbers, then the number you will find at this website address for your Member of Parliament, and tell him this and this and that. Something that someone can do in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a very, very simple task that added one to another shall be really efficient. Then you can provide with template emails, template phone calls. This is what we did for candidat.fr. A mock-up phone call. Hello, I'm in your location and I want to tell you about the pact we're making and blah, blah, blah. And a dummy phone call to explain people how to talk on the phone in very short time. This is how you can more efficiently use the public to work with you. The journalists, you have to call them all and call again and again and again. I showed you the photo of the petition in front of the Prime Minister residence. Tanguy, one of our members, spent 3 hours, 3 intense hours, with yellow pages and a phone, calling all the redactions in France, saying, oh, we will be at that time with that petition, talking about this, and there will be images to make. So please send someone. Out of the 40 phone calls he made, there were maybe 7 or 8 journalists there, and it was a lot. So you have to call and call them a lot. Then you can identify the specialists. In every newspaper, there's a technology section. Spot the names of the guys. And you call, and I want to talk to this person. Oh, he's not, I want to talk to him anyway. And I'll call again and again and again. Then at some point you might build some trust. It's a big word to journalists, but some kind of relationship where you can trade infos. And you can say, okay, you did this great article last time. You might do another great one right now with special infos that nobody else has. But you have to promise me that you will do this article. And then you can trade. One thing to consider, too, is that the time frame of media is something really short. There is an event, then there is actualité. The event is actual... No, not it's not that word in English. The event is now. So the time frame of now is something like 2 or 3 days. So it's very important to be reactive and to call them exactly when the events happen. Then we got the politicians. Most important of all, they want to get re-elected. Everything else is kind of secondary, you know. So knowing this, you can talk to them nicely. You can make them understand that you are one of the people that might vote for them, that you know many people that might work for them, you know, the internet and all, and that you might be as angry as to tell many different people why they should or not vote for this person. And you would be amazed to see how it works more than any other argument. Another sad thing is that there is a real lack of expertise among the political people. No, you shouldn't applaud this. This is really sad. I mean, this. But this is honest. This is a honest lack of expertise. When you call them and they say, oh, there is this law about the DRM. Oh, but I don't know anything about computers. No, no, no. Listen, it's not about computers. It's about the right to read. It's about, oh, the right to read? Interesting. Yeah, the right to read, you know, with computers and so on. And being pedagogue, being nice, using quite polite arguments, sending nicely done documents, you can really help them. And when they feel helped, then they will trust you. And sometimes they will even call you back and ask you for information later. So with your expertise, you can really build a trust, not trust, but a real privileged relationship with the politicians by helping them and giving them info. Then the two tools beside the expertise, you get to influence them. There is the carrot and the stick. Carrots are expensive nowadays. We're not Vivendi Universal, we're not Apple Corporation of America, so we don't have much carrots, which leaves us with the stick. So we all know ninja and kung fu movies, you know, that you can make it turn around your head like this very impressively, and the opponent will be, bye. So this is basically what we did. You know, wave the stick around your head faster and faster. And the stick in many ways is saying to them, oh, so you don't agree to vote for this? You don't agree to pass this amendment? I'm sorry, but we are just about to make a press release, so we'll be forced to put your name into it. Oh, that's a shame. Oh, no, 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 wait. And honestly, we were amazed by hearing those people saying, oh, no, no, it's impossible, completely impossible that we pass those things. Okay, we'll do a press release. Oh, no, 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 wait. There might be a way. So they don't like it. They don't like it at all. And yeah, you can play with this. I mean, it's menacing, it's not very nice, but when you see what they do on the other side, I think it's very nice, actually. Talking here about indirect menaces, it's not much saying, we will shoot you, we will do a press release against you, but you know, I know people, ooh, they're even more angry than me, and they're not as nice as I am, you know, and I can't control them, you know, it's... they might be really angry if you didn't sign those amendments. I mean, really. And this, most of the time, works. One other very, very... cheese. No, I didn't say cheese this time. Well, one other very, very important and impressive thing is the effect of the other guy. Like, you might be as rational as you want with as many arguments as you have, explaining how difficult and complex and important is the problem. Person will be, yeah, right. And then you say, oh, you know, these people, he signed it. Oh, really? Oh, then I signed too. And it works like this. Like calling a candidate, saying, yeah, I don't care, you're saying free software, whatever. Yeah, but you know the candidate from the other party signed it. Oh, he did it. Okay, I'll sign. And this works more than anything else. And when you identified, I told you the key people in one party, the people who really know the stuff, calling the other dummies in the party, saying, you know the guy, the top guy who knows his stuff, yeah? He signed it. Oh, really? He signed it? Oh, okay, I will sign it too. And this is one of the strongest levers we had to influence them. Well, we could talk of this for hours, and I think that my time is about to be over. And oh, okay, and there might be some questions. So, to conclude very quickly, this is not as hard as you might think. We, the network, we are a lot. The lobbyists are very few. We are technical. They are not. We know their stuff. They sell lies. So we can be active on those issues. We have to be active on those issues. And more important, we should communicate with each other. You didn't know about all we did. I didn't know about all was done about data retention before coming to that camp. We have to establish bridges between the NGOs. And I think a workshop on Sunday is about this. So this might be a nice place to talk about it. And in a more general way, we will try harder to make English translations of what we do. And I really hope that we will be able to communicate more efficiently to, yeah, know in the end we win. So that's about it. Thank you very much.